Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Wendy Papazan. And today, Seychelle and I are spitballing a little bit here. Yeah. We're going to be talking about how to do hard things, because frankly, it's been a tough year for both of us.
It's actually been a tough year. 2.5 years, really.
Really 3 years for me.
True.
I know 3 years ago, some of you know my story, but 3 years ago, my real estate team started to fall apart. And there's a lot of reasons for it. There's not one reason. There's a lot of reasons. But ultimately, they all have to do with me because I was the leader at the time. Well, I'm still the leader. Mm-hmm. And in the course of just a few months, 26 people left my team. It got to be so that I had PTSD anytime anybody mm-hmm. wanted to have a conversation with me, because I was pretty sure that they were going to tell me that they were leaving. And, you know, honestly, it was hard for me. I think I was telling this to someone the other day. It was really hard because it was the collective trauma of all those people leaving. It was, and everybody had their own reasons for leaving, and they were all legitimate. And I feel like I didn't deserve the collective trauma, because there was no one single thing that I had done that should have created all that pain for me. And because at the time I'm a decent leader, you know, I'm not a bad leader. I made some bad choices about some of the things that I did, and some of the things that happened, you know, were ultimately my fault, but I didn't do anything so bad that I deserved that collective trauma. And so that was what was really hard. And I know you're the same way. Seychelle, you had mm-hmm. something similar happen to you a little bit after me.
It's interesting because our businesses, I miss our two co-hosts. They're amazing and always bring such wisdom to the table. Mm-hmm. And for this episode today, it's kind of fun doing it with you, because our two businesses often are within 6 months to a year of each other, wherever they are.
It's amazing.
In the cycle.
I know. And it's been that way since we met.
Yeah, honestly. It really has.
It is literally. Yeah.
We're fairly similar
as leaders too.
We are. Mm-hmm. And you know, we wanted to take some time today to share with you guys some of this as far as like the real behind the scenes, because we've had some of you reach out over COVID that may have heard some of our stories or you know, heard about our experiences. And sometimes you're just in the thick of it, and it's helpful to know that you're not alone and that other people see you and hear you and are with you in it. And so we thought we might share with you, you know, some of our things that we have learned, some of the hard things that we've been going through over the last couple of years, how we're finding a way to move forward and grow and learn and find joy, despite some of the challenges. And, you know, I think the first thing that I have learned is that, I think the phrase "misery loves company" is a piece of crap. But I do think, I don't want someone to like just sit there and wallow with me in pain forever, right? That's a misery loves company to me. But I will say that building a tribe of people that have been through hard things and have come out on the other side can be so impactful and powerful when you are in the thick of it. Like I mm-hmm. oftentimes in the middle of hard for me, I may need like a week to sit if it's really, really bad, or 10 minutes if it's not like terrible, but like, you know, you need a hot minute to just kind of like have your moment. But one of the best things that I think about our relationship that I have found is when you're in the middle of a really hard time, or I'm in the middle of a really hard time, we pick up the phone and call each other and say, how do I get through this? How do I move through this? What do I learn? What did you learn? What do you wish you would have done? And to have leaders that are high-minded in your world that you can make those calls to, I think really makes a huge difference to allow you to do the hard things you need to do when you're in the middle of the thick of it. And so I'm really thankful for that.
I love that. Well, and I'm thankful for that too. And I'm honestly so thankful for your friendship, Seychelle. I mean, you and I have known each other for, I don't know, 12 years, something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you remember when we met? Do you remember that?
Well, you and I have different memories because
I
for
know
some
we
reason,
do. Yeah.
I remember yeah. meeting
What's your
you.
Memory?
I remember having lunch with you at the Ritz-Carlton in Atlanta, and you were wearing a really cute kind of like poofy skirt that was really cute. And you were like,
but I don't
brand,
even remember being in Atlanta.
I remember sitting with
or?
You. Yeah. Yeah. You, it was like you were visiting for family yeah. reunion, and you had like just gotten into real estate, and we sat down, and it was Kristen.
I don't think I was at that family reunion. Yeah.
Well, that's where my head has us. But yeah. I also remember your other memory.
Well, I have a better story, which is funnier. I remember we were at the Highball, which is a bowling. Well, at the time, it's
really
bar
fun.
Now.
Yeah,
it was a bowling alley and bar attached mm-hmm. to the Alamo. And that's when it was cool when they had the bowling alley inside
yeah,
it
was of it.
Fun. And you showed up with Ben Kinney, mm-hmm. our friend Ben. And for some reason I thought you were his girlfriend. And I literally, you were just so cute. You were just darling. And I literally thought, oh, Ben must be a lot richer than I think he is. Because you were like so out of his league, right? And I met you. But then I quickly realized that you were married to Nick and all the things. But yeah, so that was like a dozen years ago. And I think our businesses have tracked since then. So
yeah,
anyway, thank you to Ben or whoever introduced us.
Yeah.
I remember that lunch, but I don't, I'm going to try to see where it was because I know the lunch that you're talking about. Cause I think we met with some of the, like Kristen and some other people on your team and Barb. Yeah. No, I do remember that.
Well, and Jay talked about you for years before I met you because Jay and I mm-hmm. both started at Keller Williams within like, I think he was maybe 3 years in when I started. Mm-hmm. And so we both have kind of grown up in the industry and the company together. And so it's been really fun to be a part of that. And then to get to, you know, not only have him as a dear friend and person I admire in my life, but then to get to have you too. I mean, it was just like, it's like two times the fun. It was so awesome that you were just as wonderful as he is. So I found that to be really cool.
So great.
You know, when I look back over the last couple of years, Wendy, like, so you were about 3 years ago, your team fell apart. Our team fell apart in January of 2020, right? Like literally I had part of my team leave. And then I went and gave a eulogy for one of my dear friends who also happened to be married to one of my salespeople the next day. And then the day after that, the other half of the team quit, which was super cool. And so in a matter of like 3 days, I either lost the entire sales side of our organization or honestly like buried part of it, literally.
Yeah.
In like 3 days. And so it was a really rough period. And then right after that, COVID hit a month later. And I remember right after the whole team fell apart, I had agreed to do a panel conversation that we've talked about before. I did a panel conversation for our like region. We have 9,000 people in our region. And so we did like a big event over at the Cowboy Stadium. And I looked down, it was just such a brain fog. It was a matter of, you know, between half the team leaving the eulogy and the funeral service and then the panel, it was like a 5-day period. So it was not long from one end to the other of that. And I remember I didn't even have time to prepare for the panel because I was just so in the middle of everything else and all the things you have to do. And thankfully, our operations team was like in it with me, jumped in the trenches. We all got it figured out. And the sales side, we had to completely rebuild. And I was getting ready to walk up onto stage and I looked down at what our panel conversation was. And it was how to build a team that lasts was the name of it. Literally less than 5 days after my entire sales of our business had imploded. And I just remember, I had two amazing other people that had great businesses that were sitting up there with me. And I remember they looked at me and they said, so Seychelle, how do you build a team that lasts? And if you could have seen me, I think my face turned hot pink and I literally just started bawling on stage in front of everyone. And I just remember going, I have no idea. And like, I am like waterworks. Like I didn't bring tissues. I was not prepared. I am literally like sobbing on stage. And like our regional director, Smokey Garrett's like, what is happening right now? I'm getting, my phone is blowing up on the side with Via and Wendy and our friend Ben Kenny and other people going, I'm getting weird text messages from people saying you're crying on stage right now. Like, what is happening to you? I literally just had like the super, super awesome public meltdown, which was just so, you know, so humbling and rewarding. And then we had COVID. Wendy, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and I relate to that. I mean, we were always the team in the market center where people talked you about us. Like we were the team.
You had a very sticky, cohesive culture.
Very, very stable. So what's interesting about that is I think it was, it's kind of like you were saying, it's like, well, how did I make that happen? You know, was it sort of random? Probably was. Yeah. It probably was somewhat random. Was I not horrible? Yes. That's probably also the case. But here we are, you know, 3 years later and, I can tell you, or in your case, I guess 2 years later, 2.5 years later, I can tell you that, you know, we can all do hard things. And then of course, you know, everybody knows we had COVID and Seychelle and I have rebuilt our teams and, you know, I have some phenomenal people on my team now. And actually I love the team that I have now. And
I do too.
I built it with team players. And at the end of the day, you know, when you're in it, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And some people have heard me say this before, but I just remember when my, you know, this gal who'd been with me for a long time, seven years, and whose life I impacted a lot. I'd actually just given her a whole garage of furniture from like nice furniture from an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. That we had decided not to keep as an Airbnb. And she didn't even have, she couldn't even call me. She sent me an email and it was very hard for me. And I just sat down with Jay on the couch that night and I just was crying. And I just said, I don't want to have a big life anymore. I want a tiny little life. I don't want this. It's too much pain. It's too much heartache. It's too much sorrow. And
I think it's hard too.
You know, the reality is
you pour into people like as a leader. It's I know we say it's business, but I will tell you when you care about your people, when you love them, when you have helped them pay for back taxes that they owe or help them with their down payment for their first home or gifted them vacations or surprised them with all sorts of other things 100%. That have massively impacted their life, to all of a sudden have that relationship like sometimes ripped apart. And hopefully it's always a good exit. And I feel like you and I both have had a track record up until this point of actually having pretty decent like exits and we are on amicable terms and everything's good. And then all of a sudden you go through this period where it just feels like you're just ripping things. Velcro, just ripping apart. That it's hard to let go of that relationship. And even though you're like not in a good space with them, it's hard then to like tell yourself not to care about them or to tell yourself that it's a different relationship now than it was and you can't pick up the phone and call them in the same way. And so there is a mourning period that I think I went through. I think you did too with some of those relationships because it's hard not to care.
Well, and it's hard as a leader because you're always on the outside in a way, you know, because you're the boss. And you and I are both people and it's just really tough because sometimes you'll be on social media and you'll see every single person that was on your real estate team in 2019 together at an event. And that's tough. It's really, that's honestly, for me, it's just so hard to see that because because I am a person, you know, and I am a thick skinned person, but underneath the thick skin, I'm still tender. And, and so that's, you know, it's just hard to see. And it's just a part of it. You know, it's part of being a leader. You don't always get to be the buddy of everybody that's on your team. So,
you know, you made a comment of sitting on the couch of, you know, sometimes I think a lot of leaders resonate with this of the, do I just want to tear it all down? Do I just want to break it all apart? Do I just want to break it all down and just keep it small, keep it tiny, keep it where it's safe and I can't get hurt again, or I don't have to have the stress or the responsibility or the liability or the accountability. What made you at a certain point willing to change that and rebuild again?
Yeah. Well, so I would say that I very much relate to that. I really was like, I want to, and I am somewhat still in that mentality. I don't think I ever mm-hmm. really got back
I'm
to
still
that.
Recovering.
Like, I want to have, yeah. I want to have massive growth. I think I'm pretty clear now that if someone enters my world and they want that, I'm willing to invest in them and invest in that. But I'm just not, you know, I'm just not going to necessarily do it myself. We're still growing. I mean, we just hired 4 people last week, so it's not like we're not growing at all. But I would say we've been very, very slow and stable these last couple of years. And you know, it's just in the real estate industry, and all the industries the last years, there's a lot of turnover. So it's not like we've had mm-hmm. no turnover on our team or organization, but we haven't mm-hmm. had much, honestly. So
I will say it allowed, purposeful. I've had two major like opportunities in the last two and a half years since we've been rebuilding. The first one was for us, we had like one salesperson who we had literally mm-hmm. like had the funeral for her husband. She was our one salesperson that we still had. Mm-hmm. So she was mourning. But we had all of the operations expense and then none of the salespeople. And mm-hmm. so a big motivator for me to rebuild was we had a phenomenal operations team and mm-hmm. I was bound and determined, like hell or high water, I'm keeping all of our people and we're not laying a single person off. And so that was a motivation for me to build immediately, quickly, aggressively to figure that out. And we had a lot of really good potential people in the pipeline coming in, but none of them had been up and trained yet.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
The second thing, though, that I have learned over the last probably 6 months
to a year. Well, can I just jump in on that? Because I think, first of all, that's so important. The operations side of your team is... I think some people think it's not as important as the sales team. Mm-hmm. It's equally as important, if not more important,
than the sales team. It's because, the heartbeat of our organization.
Because it's the back of the house. Yeah, it's like if you think about a restaurant, the people that are in the back preparing the food, making sure that the quality is there, making sure that the customer has the quality, and then mm-hmm. you've got the salespeople on the front who are selling everything, mm-hmm. Selling the food to the mm-hmm. customers in the restaurant. If you have a bad waiter and the food is still amazing, you're probably going to come back to that restaurant. But if you go one time and the food is really good, and the next time you go, it's really bad. The next time you go, it's really bad. You're probably not going to come back.
No.
And so that operational kind of back end of the house is just really important. And I made the mistake of when, my operations person left. She actually got her, I was really happy for her. She got her dream job. And some salespeople were leaving. I decided to not hire that, that key role, that operations mm-hmm. director. And it was a good thing because it allowed me to get our incredible, person that we have now, who's actually going to be moving into another role for us. You know, and honestly, she's been a huge part of our stability and our rock these last couple of years. But that was a mistake I made, was not filling that position immediately, that operations mm-hmm. director. And I think people really underestimate the importance of that position, you know, especially on a real estate team.
I think you are able to pretend to not pretend in the word like that. I mean that you can't do it. I mean, I think you're able to think operationally probably at a little bit higher level than I am. And so you can fake that longer, which allowed you more bandwidth not to have to replace it sooner. I am very clear for me personally that I am a relationship-based person. I like building business. I like I need to be on the relationship side of things, and I can, mm-hmm. I can flex on a strategic level, but my, energy level or my stamina on that side is, I think, much shorter than yours is. And so for me, if that same situation would have happened, I would have had to hire much faster because the, failure in the organization for me to be in that role would have been much faster than I think what yours was. I think you could hack it longer.
And well, so I also had, you know, Lee Bogar, she stepped she's in awesome. For me.
Yeah.
And, even though she's not, she just has an amazing mix of weird people and analytical skills, but she was able to come in and kind of pinch hit, you know, for a few months.
She really was.
Which is really good.
Yeah. And I think about like Kristen and Erica and Maria on our team, kind of our OGs. We've been together a really long time. And I think like, I always tell them, I'm like, I would die without you guys. Like literally you are the literal spine of our organization that keeps everything in alignment and moving forward and put together. Like without them, we would be majorly, majorly up a creek. Their brains are everything that mine is not. Which is so awesome to have somebody that compliments you in that way. You know, I think something over the last year that you and I have really learned is like, so you can have business failures, but we've also had some like major personal things that we have had to reassess priorities, reevaluate, that have made us like, I mean, Quinn being in virtual school for a year and a half, like that, I mean, you were homeschooling for a long time, like that changes your world. You know, and then layered on top of that, us really having to work with the decline of my dad's health and sell my parents' house with all the flooding that they had and then move them in with us and then move them out and then move him into memory care. And like all of those things that you like, that were not on my vision board for 2020, 21 or 22, that just have a way of coming in and forcing you to make space. I think about like over the past 2 years, how freaking hard that has been on like the business, on the marriage, on the relationships, on friendships. And I think, I think back of just how life sometimes has a funny way of slowing you down and forcing you to literally stop and assess everything. And I'm learning, I'm still in active learning on these. I'm not there, but I'm really actively learning, that it is okay to actually have my business look different than other people's. Mm-hmm. And I think you did that beautifully when you had little bitties and you've done that again. Now you've reinvented it a couple times. And this for me, I used to just have endless amounts of energy and I could work myself into the ground if I had to, because I had endless amounts of energy. And now with that energy having to be divided between work, daughter, marriage, parents, you know, estate planning, like all of these things, I don't have unlimited amounts of time and energy to be able to spend on those things. And it's really forcing me to reprioritize and then to give myself permission and the comfort and the peace that I can do that and still have a really great, profitable, awesome business and amazing humans and we can all grow. But it really like driving towards that like a life that I want. And what do I envision it? Not because society or our team or other business owners have it a certain way, so I have to do it that way too. And I think getting into business at 22, you know, I just sort of was like, well, this is what somebody else is doing. Let's do that. And I was comparing, you know, my outsides to their insides.
Well, and we're all models-based people. All of us on the podcast are models-based people. And that's actually a good thing. But I would say, Seychelle, first of all, you are doing great. You are doing really, really great. And for those of you out there that are struggling, that are going through something hard, you're doing great too. You really are. You are doing great. And sometimes we just need, somebody in our life that we respect and love to tell them that they are doing great and you are enough. And you are doing enough, and that's okay, because success can be on your terms. Success is what you want, and success looks different for different people.
Yeah,
and it looks different for different people at different stages of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you, honestly, Seychelle, you didn't get to have your roaring 20s. You know, you jumped in and helped your family with your business. So you didn't really get that. And You know, you started your own family, and honestly, it's not necessarily fair, you know, the hand that you were dealt, and you've really played it beautifully. And what I love about you is that finally, after about 17 years of doing the right thing by everybody in your life, you're choosing yourself. So I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I was slower to look, how do I phrase it? I think it was easier when acts of service are your love language. It's been easier to serve everybody else. And I think doing the internal work, you know, I turned 40 this year, big 4-0. I feel like my 20s were like, who are you? Your 30s are like, okay, I know who I am, and I'm going to like, I've got endless amounts of energy and time, and I'm going to do it all, right? Like, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too in your 30s. And in my 40s, I feel like I'm in this mode of coming into my 40th year going, what do I want? I've spent 17 years, to your point, serving what everybody else wants. And Nick and I are really getting to have exciting conversations about what we want. Quinn will be, you know, college age in 10 years. So we have our 40s to really spend focusing on what we want. How do we want to build our life? Just because somebody else has built it one way doesn't mean that's what we need. And how can we do it on our terms? How can we spend more time at the lake house? How can we spend more time playing and bringing joy and having fun and building that into our life? And I think I'm also learning that my 40s have to be asking for help more. I'm used to being Superman, and you just throw it on your back and you keep going. And, you know, I'm learning to ask for help. And I actually have to build systems around asking for help because it's not something I naturally do. So I literally, that is a system I'm working every week on building, because that's not a muscle I naturally do, is ask. So
yeah,
that's something
I'm
having to
build. I think we're all like that. Yeah. We're all like that. I think everybody relates to that. I mean, I'm not the same way. I'm not like that either. I'm going to be a terrible nurturer when my husband's older. You know, he's not going to be that great at it either, probably. So we'll see what happens there. But So I just, anybody who's out there, I just want you to know that I think the older you get, the more you understand this. That is, life isn't about always moving up and forward. Life is full of hard things. It just is. And whether or not you've had those hard things happen to you, you need to understand it's just a matter of time. And none of us is guaranteed another day. We just aren't. And so what Seychelles is telling us is, you know, we have to move through the hard things with our thick skin, but with our tender underbelly as well. And never forget to take care of ourselves at the same time, because success is what we make it, even though we're always dealing with the hard things.
And if you don't have a you at the end of the day because you have burnt out, or you haven't taken care of your body or your mind or your soul, then you don't get to enjoy the rest of the journey, because there is no destination on this earth, at least. And so, you know, taking the time to slow down and to ask the questions we were asking, an awesome person, Nicole Davison, and I were having a call the other day, and, you know, she was just, you know, going through leadership questions. And I really encouraged her to go back and ask the question first of, what do I want my world to look like? What do I want my life to look like? And then how can my business serve me? And I don't mean it in like a selfish way of like, oh, you guys all like do my bidding. But I mean, like, how can my business really help empower me to live my best life and put me in my wheelhouse for what I love and do best, and then create opportunities for others in that? There's freedom and excitement in that for me.
Oh, I love that.
Freedom.
I love that. In fact, I was just teaching that. It's a part of Quantum Leap, which is a class that was written by Gary Keller.
Awesome class.
I was teaching that to my team this morning, which is this idea of starting with yourself and your personal mission and your personal values, and taking the time to truly understand who you are and what's important to you, and then figuring out a career that aligns with that. And for some of us, it could be starting a business, but it doesn't have to be. Yeah. You know, there are plenty of people who are aligned with other people's vision and mission. And that's a wonderful thing. That's absolutely a wonderful thing. But understanding why you're on the planet, and then understanding that you're going to spend the majority of your time at work. And so, so aligning your work with who you are. And then on top of that, you know, whether you're inside a business or you're running your own business, is as you grow in your leadership, help other people understand as well. So you're sort of giving back in a people way, based on your mission and your values and whatever that looks like to you. And then the fourth step to that is really, as you grow your business and you grow your wealth, you're giving back financially to things that aligned with your vision and your mission and your values. And that honestly, that's a big secret to the happy life, because understanding that there's lots of hard stuff thrown in there, right? There's lots of hard stuff. So,
but you can, I think, you know, for any of you going through hard times right now, or maybe coming out of them, is, you know, to remember too, that even in the hard times, there's joy and there's light and there's opportunity, but you have to really look for it and be willing to be open-minded for it. And, it's okay sometimes to be in a hard spot, but also have, you know, great amounts of pain and great amounts of joy at the same time. The older I get, the more I realize that those are not mutually exclusive. And so, you know, we just want to encourage all of you, as you're coming in and building your worlds, to know that you're not alone and there are great things coming for you should you choose to pursue them. And, you know, we're always here. So you've got friends in us, and I know Via and Sarah feel the same way. And we want to see you build that big business and that even bigger life. And sometimes it's messy, but I'll tell you, it's worth it. It is worth it.
That's right. It's absolutely worth it. Go out there, guys.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.